Good afternoon, everybody, and bless you. We praise the Lord God Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, and our very hearts, our minds, our bodies, everything we have comes from Him. And everything He has made well. And we have a purpose. And our purpose is to carry Him in our heart, as He is the answer to our deepest needs. Our very need to be loved. Our desire for goodness. Our hope. He is the fulfillment of our need to be loved. Without Him, our lives go up and down with hope that this is going to work out, or hope that this person is going to be a friend, or that we're going to get this job or that. Our lives are like we're riding on the sea, up and down with the waves, this way and that way. It's no good way to live. I've lived too much of my life that way. My life, my heart, was grieved too much of the time. My hopes were broken. My dreams were shattered. And sure, there was always another dream on the horizon or another hope. But there's no surety that that will last. In fact, everything here is going to either die or burn. This whole creation is going to end one day. I need something firm, something solid in my life. That's what I've needed, and that's what God is. God is my sure, solid, rock foundation. But being a rock doesn't mean that He's hard-hearted. For He's a living rock. He's a rock in that He doesn't change and doesn't go up and down and this way and that and come and go. He's always there, but His heart is loving and compassionate and gentle. He's strong, stronger than anyone or anything. But He's also gentle and tender. More tender than the best mother in the world. He is love. That love of God is expressed to us through His look of favor towards us. That look of favor is His grace. He wants to. He looks in us and sees His own reflection in our makeup. In the way we were made, He sees Himself, or His own Son, if you prefer. And He looks with favor on us because we were made in the image of His own Son. His only begotten Son. If any of you have children, you look at that little baby when the baby's born, and you can see yourself in that baby. And most likely, you've looked on that little baby with favor. Especially because that baby may have looked like you or his mother. So you have this natural affinity, this natural love and care and hopes for the baby. That look, when you're looking at that baby, that's favor. You want good for that baby. You want that baby to find all the goodness in this life, maybe goodness that you didn't get. Or maybe goodness that you did get, you want to give to that baby. That look, the way you look at that baby, that's the look of favor. That's grace. And it's through that look of favor, when God looks in us, his love flows from his heart through that look of favor when he's smiling at us. He looks at us as if, and we may be doing something silly, something foolish, but he knows our frame. He knows we're but dust, here today and gone tomorrow, like the grasses of the field, like flower will bloom today and tomorrow it's wilted. He knows that's what we're like. We're made of flesh. Flesh doesn't last very long when you consider eternity. So he looks at us and the kind of silly things we do. He understands we don't know any better. And even when we do know better, we're so messed up. He can forgive us because of our ignorance and foolishness and lack of understanding. Not being able to see from the perspective of eternity. So he has mercy for us. That mercy flows through that grace also. That grace of looking at us with favor. His mercy flows towards us, and we can step towards him, knowing that we've done some mighty foolish things. Bad things. His heart, it doesn't want to condemn us for those bad things. What his heart wants to do is for us to learn. As if you fell off a bike, you learned, well, I don't turn quite so sharply. Or I keep looking straight ahead and not down at my feet. So we learn by practice. That's what he's hoping we will do. That we will learn to look forward to him. And when we look forward through the circumstances, not looking down at our feet, not looking at the ground passing by, but look straight ahead. And we're still going to fall. We're going to come into a situation that we've never come to before. We're not going to be quite sure how to handle it. And we may just fall. It's a learning experience. He looks at us with favor. Ah, yeah, you made a mistake there. I told you not to turn that way, but you did anyway. I hope you'll listen to me next time, he says. He's still looking at us with the eyes of favor. Does he ever get angry at us? He might. It's like a father can get angry at his son. But his anger doesn't last forever. He's quick to forgive. He's slow to anger and quick to forgive. And he says, come back to me. Don't stay away. I made you. I love you. I'm God. I know what's best for you. You're acting like a little child who thinks he knows better than his daddy. And I'm not like your earthly father, because I really do know what's best. I know everything. I know every thought you've thought. I know everything that's happened to you, and why it happened. I just want you back with me. I want you to walk with me. I want you to know my love. Your heart is hardened because you've been disappointed so much in your life, and your heart has become hardened. There's a shell around it, and you don't know if you can trust again. But listen to me, you can trust me. God says to you, you can trust me. If there's no one else here on earth that you can trust, you can trust me. I love you with a perfect love. Look to me. Look up in my face. Close your earthly eyes. Unless you're driving, don't do it. Pull over. And close your earthly eyes. And let my voice bring the look of my face to you. For I'm looking into your eyes, and I'm smiling. I'm smiling with a look that is all-knowing and tender and compassionate and full of just wanting good for you. I see what you'll be like in the end. I see what you're able to become. You will be able to become this, what I have in mind for you, if you will trust me and pull yourself towards me. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. I know all that sin that you're ashamed of. All of that sin that you're ashamed of. I see it. I know it's there. I'm not blind. I've been in your shoes here, you know. I came to earth. I lived life. I know what it's like. No, I didn't sin. But I know what it's like to be tempted, and I know how frail you are, and I know that sin, you inherited the sin nature. I did have one up on you, and that I didn't inherit that sin nature. But I still had the flesh, and I know what it's like. So you can come to me, because I'm like one of you. I'm tender, compassionate, and yet stronger than anything you can imagine. So if you'll come, to me. Let me put my arm around you. Nothing will be able to touch you that I don't allow to touch you. If I allow anything to touch you, you don't have to worry, because it'll be for your good. Even though you don't understand it, you trust me anyway, because I'll make you strong. I'll make you able to handle anything. You have to trust me, not in your ability to handle anything. Don't be go getting a big prideful head, because then you'll fall. And you'll just have to learn to be humble. So look to be humble to begin with. And it won't be so hard. You won't have to get hit so many times. Because when you're proud, you invite trouble. Trouble I don't want you to have to go through, but if you're proudfully stubborn, it's going to happen. Because I want you to be pure and holy and good and kind and loving and humble. So all that sin that you're ashamed of, when I was on earth here and I walked in your shoes, people were mean to me. Other kids made fun of me. I fell and skinned my knee and it hurt. Oh, by the way, in the manger, I cried. But that's what babies do. If I didn't, I wouldn't have been like you. I knew pain. I was a man of sorrows. I felt the pain, believe me. I felt the pain. I know what it's like to be rejected. But all that sin that you're ashamed of because you made the wrong choices, you're even ashamed of just being yourself when you didn't even do anything wrong because other people rejected you. But I want you to know, I didn't reject you. Maybe even your mother rejected you, or your father. Maybe they just didn't know how to love. That wasn't because there was something wrong with you. That was because they were hurt and they had hard, scaly hearts, and they didn't know how to come out of it. They only did what they knew. They were trying to cope with life, too. Let it go. Let it go. In fact, give it to me. I will take it. The sin that you're ashamed of, you see, now here's the other thing I did when I came to earth. As a man, as a boy, as a man, Jesus. When I came to earth, all that sin and shame, I took it upon myself. When I died on that cross, that was purposeful. I did that on purpose. My life wasn't taken from me. I laid it down, and I laid it down for you. I took your penalty of sin on myself. I died in your place. The sin that you committed that you are ashamed of had to be paid for. Judgment had to be made on that sin. That sin was what was keeping you from knowing my Father, God in heaven. That sin was a barrier between you and him. So I came to take your sin upon myself so that you could know my Father and my Father could know you. So that the Holy Spirit could come and live in you and that you can be one with me, with my Father, through the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what you want? To have the very love of the living God living in you, giving you power in this life, a power of a life that nobody can touch. People will reject you. You'll still, feel the rejection, but it doesn't devastate you. When you have this, the power of my Father's love, the power of my love, living inside of you, what anything that happens to you won't have the same effect that it has on you now. You will rise above that. You will walk on top of the water. You won't be swimming in the water and the wave comes and goes over your head and you half drown and you come up gurgling and spurting and frantically trying to get above the water so you can breathe again. You'll be with me walking on top of the water and the waves are still going to come. And they're going to hit you. But I'll be there with you. Just like I was with Peter when he got out of the boat and tried walking to me. At least he tried, didn't he? So I'm asking you, get out of that boat that you're in, that you think is your safety. But it isn't able to save you. Take my hand. I'm the one who rules the water, the waves, the storm, the sea, the wind. Take my hand, and I will walk through this life with you. You and me together. You will never know a love like the love that I have for you, that I want to put in you. When I do that, I will be living in you, and you will be like me on this earth. And people will look at you as you look at them with the eye of favor and love and grace and mercy and joy and strength and peace, and they will wonder. And they will ask you. They will come to you when you've learned to look into people's eye, right into their eye without fear, confidence, without fear of them rejecting you. They will look back into your eye and they will want to know you because they see me in you and they want to know me. They may not realize that's what's happening, but you're going to tell them. You're going to tell them. because I will give you the confidence and strength and love that will compel you to want to, and you won't care for yourself anyway if they reject you, but you're going to care that they're going to be rejecting me and that they're going to miss out on a joyous life that starts now and goes through eternity. So give me your sin. I paid for it. Don't make my dying on the cross of no value. Because what value does it have? You see, I died for the purpose of paying for your sin so that you could come to me. So if you don't give me my sin, what was the purpose of me dying on the cross? I did it for nothing. Well, yes, I did do it for the other people. But that portion that was for you was just for you. Don't make it of no account. Come to me. Come to me. And it's not a one-time thing. It's an everyday thing. Moment by moment. But as you walk, you will, if you walk with a heart that wants to know me more and more and more, you will learn to walk without stumbling so much. And the walk will be sweeter and sweeter and stronger and stronger and more blessed. That doesn't mean I'm going to give you everything your flesh wants. But I'll give you what your heart is longing for. And that's the strength and love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. Greater is he who rules his own heart than the man who rules a whole city. Which would you rather be? The ruler of a whole city, or one who has mastered his own heart and can do anything? Because if you can master your own heart by walking in my love and mercy and grace, you can do anything, because I will be your God, who will be proud to be your God. And I will talk you up to the host of heaven. Say, oh, did you just see what he did? What she did? That was just great. Isn't that what you would like? Do you want to go with the way your life has been? I can give you new life. Come to me. All you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest from your labors. You will enter into doing my labors. I will give you my yoke, but I'll give you the life power to do it. So it's a joy. It's not this hard task that I'm going to give you. I'm going to give you the life power to live and do my works. And because I give you the life power, it will be light and easy to bear. You can rest from your weary dreariness, and you can take upon my life, and you can be that, like the blooming, is it the blooming crocus in the desert? You'd still be in a desert, but you'll be drinking from my well, and you'll know how to keep that water in you and give it out as it needs, because I will always fill you with more. You'll be able to pour out your life like a drink offering for other people. But because you're connected to me, you don't have to worry, because I'll fill you with more. You'll know the joy of walking in my fullness. You'll know the joy of walking in my strength. And I in you can overcome all obstacles. And you will not be overcome by anything as long as you hold on to me with all of your heart. I will hold on to you and give you everything you need. And when you start slipping back into your old ways, you know, you are going to be my bond slave, you know, slave by choice, because you know that I love you. But I'm not going to force you. I'm not going to force my love on you. I'm not going to keep you in a cage or on a leash. You're free to go. But when you go, you're only going to hurt. That's how you'll learn to come back to me. That's my love. I love with freedom. And you'll come back to me and you'll wrap yourself around me like a vine. You ever try to stand a vine up by itself? It's not going to stand up by itself. But go plant it by that oak tree, or by the brick wall, or by that stone. And it, as it grows up, it has these little tendril, rooty things that grip the bark of the tree, and it intertwines, it wraps itself around the tree. And that wimpy vine now has the strength of the oak tree. I'm the oak tree. You're the vine. Grip me with all of your heart, and you'll have my strength. If you let go of me, I'm not going to make you hold on to me. If you choose to let go of me, you're going to fall. Don't let go. Some people have fallen and have not come back. They're out. Because it's those who endure to the end who will be saved. Be afraid to let go. You see, you only fear losing what you love. So when you, if a man comes to you and he's threatening to kill you, you might fear him. Because he can kill your body. But you fear losing your life. But fearing me is not that I'm going to take something away from you, is that you're going to lose the eternal life if you don't stay with me. That's wisdom. That's the beginning of knowledge, of wisdom. Hold on to me with all of your love, and I will give you the love that you need to live in this life. I will forgive all of your sin, and I will throw it as far as the east is from the west. And I will remember it no more. It will not come up to me again. I will forget it. And I want you to forget it too. Don't allow it to continue to have mastery over you. Don't allow yourself to hold on to the shame. If you hold on to the shame and after giving it to me, and you hold on to it, or you take it back, you're giving that sin that you despise, you're giving it power over you. You have to forgive yourself. If I forgive you, then I'm ordering you to forgive yourself. If you're going to be my child, you need to be obedient to me. But you see, it's an obedience to me because I love you. You love me. So it's just wisdom. So let go of that shame. Put it from you. And you repeat after me, that shame, that sin has no more power over me. I am held in the arms of my loving God who has forgiven me and has cast my sin as far as the east is from the west. You see, that sin is going to come back. It's the devil. And he's going to come back and he's going to try and intertwine you back into that sin. And that's how he does it. He tries to get you ashamed again. And when you become ashamed again, there's a little connection that's made to you and that sin. And that sin, like a worm, goes through that little connection and back into you, and it starts multiplying and putting thoughts in your head, and then all of a sudden, before you know it, you're back into it. The first thought that comes back to you that tries to make you ashamed of that, you do like I did when Satan came to me when I was fasting for 40 days. I was hungry. And he came and tried to tempt me with different thoughts. He hit me at my physical lowest. Try fasting 40 days. He hit me at my physical lowest. But I came back to him faithfully with the heart of my Father, and I gave him the answer. As soon as he put a thought in my head, I gave him an answer. He tempted me, but then he tempted me to sin against my God, my Father. That's when I told him, "Get out of here, Satan. You shall worship no other God." And he left. But that was part of my road to walk. And I was faithful. As I was faithful, so you can be faithful. And if you stumble, you get back up. And you do it right the next time. Plan for it ahead of time. Know that the devil's going to tempt you. Plan your answer ahead of time. Put the scriptures in your mind. Memorize them. What God has cleansed, let no man call unclean. There's one. He has cast my sin as far as the east is from the west. There's another. He will remember my sin no more. God is God. Not you, Satan. Get out of here. Take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Make your thinking become obedient to the Word of God and to the Holy Spirit of God. And you'll be able to handle whatever the devil flings at you. If you are persistent, if you endure, if you decide that no matter what happens, if I have to get up in the middle of the night 10 times and do battle with the enemy and pray hard, quote the scripture, look up the scripture, whatever you have to do, do it. Don't not do it because the flesh is too tired. You say, I'm going to do it anyway. I don't care how tired. I don't care if I don't get any sleep tonight. The most important thing in my life is not how much sleep I get or how much food I get, or even if I live tomorrow, till tomorrow, physically. The most important thing is that I'm obedient and faithful to my God, because my eternal life, which goes on forever, is much more important than my physical existence or my feeding my little tummy. It's more important than breathing air. Eternity is forever. Don't sacrifice forever for the fleeting pleasures of the flesh. Seek me, my Father, the Holy Spirit, my Word, with all of your heart, with all of your determination, with all of your strength. Invest it in your eternal soul, in your eternal habitation, in your eternal house, temple, tabernacle, your eternal existence. Invest your earthly life now for eternity. Make your mind think that way. Think about these things often. They will be a guard around your soul. They will be a wreath on your head, a garland of beauty around your neck. And they will be a joy to your heart when you know that you've lived the life that your God has made for you, and that you've been faithful through it all. You've been faithful. And instead of adding up more shame, you'll be pleased and at peace in your soul, and joy will prevail in your heart, a joy like you've never known before. Bless you. In the name of Jesus, I bless you with the peace and love and joy and grace, holiness, everything that God has for you, I bless you with. Take it. Open up your heart. Open up the door of your heart and let Him in. or he's knocking at your door right now, just open up and say, "Come on in, Jesus, I need you." Let him have all your sin, all your cares, all your worries. Don't worry about them anymore, because he is going to lead you through life. And you don't have to worry. He knows if you need clothing, a house to live in, shelter, if you need food, water. He knows these things, and he will care for you. Don't worry. Don't worry. Is there anyone who would like to pray the prayer to give your heart to Jesus today? You know you want him in you. You can do it by yourself at any time. Of course, you know your heart that if you wait, you may go back to what the way you were before and quickly forget about what was said today. The time is now. If you would like prayer and you would like to say, "I want Jesus in my heart. I want to give my life to him, and I want his life in me." If you would like to say that, pray the prayer and for me to pray with you. Be bold and be strong. Don't worry. Just do it. We're waiting for you. Go ahead and do it. The Lord loves you. I will keep talking. The Lord wants to hear from you. I worship you, Lord, and praise you. You are good and holy and loving and kind. And Lord, I thank you for what you've done in my life, how you've delivered me, how you've delivered me from my sin, from bondage into sin. I wandered away from you even after coming to know you. But you brought me back, and you gave me the victory again. I really don't want to go back to the way I was. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, my Father. Lord, I pray a blessing on all those who hear my voice. Maybe you already know the Lord, but there's an area in your life that you just don't have full victory over. That's, I think, most Christians' lives today. But you can. That area, you can. You can gain mastery over. Whether it happens with one prayer, or whether it begins with one prayer, and is a daily battle until you beat it back. Either way, You got to take that step.